At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. Today we are brought to you by Homefield. That is our new sponsor. They make premium collegiate apparel brands. They are out of Indianapolis, too, so they're a Midwest company. Very, very comfortable. We just got, and Brad is on here. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley on with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. And we were all fortunate enough to get some of these Homefield apparel. They've got a new Illini line that just came out today at noon. And so if you go take a look at it, what this company does is kind of cool. They go through and dig through archives and history of the school to find unique logos and different moments. And they have thoughtful designs that are specifically for the school. And then what they do is they make shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies out of this. And then obviously it's now available to us. So I was actually really excited. They had a couple things that were like super cool. And if you're old, you might remember these, but they had the flying Illini with the basketball, with the blue basketball with the orange eye, with the wings on the side. They have the fighting Illini with roses, the Rose Bowl kind of thing from the 83 team. And they've also got a beautiful Illinois script, very similar to what we see on the white jerseys. It's a white hoodie. Just some spectacular stuff. And I don't know, Brad, what did you think of what you got?
Oh, man, comfortable stuff, looks sharp. I mean, just top-of-the-line stuff. I mean, you can't beat it. So I'm very excited to be with Homefield now.
Yeah, I was excited. Ked, how did things fit for you?
Well, you know, because they got my extra small size, so it looks beautiful on me. I love how comfortable it looks. And I like the old school script. And what's unique about this is that people get to pick and choose the new shirts versus the old ones. So, you know, I really liked it. I like that look, and I like the creativity of it.
Yeah. I thought they were.
Currently can't unsee Ked in an extra small shirt.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm just glad that Homefield was smart enough to avoid Chaps. So at least that way we didn't get any Illini Chaps, because that would have been scary. From Ked's recruiting roundup, folks. And I will tell you guys, if you go to their site, so you go to Homefield Apparel and you go ahead at homefieldapparel.com, you go there, find the Illini collection, and it is so cool. If you type in Illini guys at checkout, that's just one word, Illini guys, you'll get 15% off the order. So that is sweet, sweet deal. So thanks everybody at Homefield for sponsoring Eye on the Illini. And we want to encourage our folks to go there and get some apparel, because it is some good stuff. So here we are. We are talking about the Illini victory over Michigan State. Illini goes on the road to number 19, Michigan State, has to get things fixed in Breslin. There's not a lot harder of a task that you could get in college basketball than having to travel to East Lansing knowing that you need to fix some things. Brad, what stood out to you in this 79-74 victory that the Illini achieved today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought they played great defense in the first half. I think the key of the second half was they kept scoring. Illinois put up, you know, although Michigan State put up a ton of points, Illinois kept, you know, kept pace, kept scoring. And the one thing about it is I thought that, you know, they Michigan State really did a good job of adjusting to Illinois' defensive principles in the second half and making it – they made so many – that was exact. They shot a lot of shots that Illinois wanted them to shoot, tough pull-up two-point jumpers that they're contesting, and they made them. So sometimes you just got to tip your cap and say, hey, that's a good shot, and you got to keep scoring at the other end, and they kept doing that. You know, you fed Kofi, and he made free throws, and they got the win. And then, of course, Trent Frazier, those two big plays down the stretch, that carried them to the win.
Well, I mean, to me, this goes back to the press conference, to that famous pizza place that Coach Underwood talked about, you know, going out there and competing. You know, looking at this game, you know, you're right, Mike, going to the Breslin Center when Michigan State had lost three or four games. And, you know, we can say Tom Izzo is worth 5 points himself just because of his history and you know, how well his teams compete, how well his team competes. But on paper, if you were just being neutral and you were an average fan or an average reporter, Illinois should have won this game. Illinois is the more talented team. They have more talent than Michigan State. And you're right, Coach Underwood talked about running them off the three-point line. And this, you know, it was a five-point win, but, you know, I really can't complain because they made shots. I mean, you had one guy who just had an out-of-body experience because he didn't miss shots and, you know, the crowd was going. But what impressed me was that Illinois didn't quit. That shows a sign of a mature team, you know, and they were challenged this week by their coach nationally, you know, and locally, and the kids responded, you know, and people were concerned about the shooting and things like that. If you ever played the game of basketball, you know, everybody has different styles, shooters, defensive player, a role player, you shoot your way out of it. You know, everybody talked about that three-pointer that Trent made. To me, I thought a bigger shot was that layup that he got, because I thought it could have been an and one, and he was looking to pass it because he hasn't been really confident. So to me, that was a big shot as well. It was a big win to stop the bleeding. Now you can't go backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will tell you, you know, and you'll be able to read this if you go to IlliniGuys.com. You know, you get a variety of things. You get three takeaways from Brad Sturdy after the games. You get my heat checks and Hail Marys. And one of the things that I'll talk about in tomorrow's column is, and as somebody who's coached before, what Illinois did that was spectacular is they went in, you know, with that 14-point or 12-point lead at the half, and then they basically kept the lead between 10 and 16 points. And every time that Michigan State made a run at them, Illinois popped it back up. And really, before you knew it, it took until 5 minutes left in the game for Michigan State to get down to 10 points. Because every time it looked like they were going to do that, Illinois popped it back up 2 or 4 points. And so basically, Illinois kind of turned it into a game where they only had the Spartans only had 5 minutes to make that lead up. And while they made a valiant run at it, and while we had a few just weird referee calls, but that's the Big Ten, Illinois was able to do that and was able to keep them away, and they never really threatened for the lead. And that's where I think the Illini, you know, that they took basically 15 minutes off the clock. And for those of you who like other sports, it was a little bit like a boxer, you know, you jab away 3, 4, 5 rounds, and then all of a sudden it's too late for your opponent to get the win. Brad, what did you think? Kofi had another All-American performance today, and Jacob Grandison was amazing. What were your thoughts on those two?
Well, you know, Kofi dominated the second half. I mean, they had no answer for him. Seems like they're finally, you know, they're calling more fouls maybe, and at least it appears like it. He's getting more and-one plays the last couple games. And their defense calling him. I know that, you know, Izzo complained about the officials, but I thought they got a pretty good whistle down the stretch regardless. Yeah. And so, but then, you know, I thought Jake Grandison came out and made shots, and that's what he did early in the season. He made some nice passes. He defended, too. There was a big charge he drew, you know, there in the middle of the second half. And there was a lot of good plays, just winning plays that he can make. But, you know, we talk about those two guys and Trent. But, you know, I thought their bench gave them a ton, you know, Curbelo and Melendez and Hawkins really gave them good. Even down the stretch, you remember Omar Payne got that offensive rebound that led to Trent's first three there again to put him up, I think, 13 at a point. So those guys gave minutes. They gave some quality minutes. And, man, when you get your bench like that, giving you energy and doing those things, I think it's really, really makes this team very good. And, you know, yeah, Demonte Williams played good defense, maybe didn't have the offensive game. And, you know, Alphonso Plummer right now is kind of a mess, both offensively and defensively, especially defensively. So I think that, you know, he's got to pick it up or else there's going to be some of his time's going to go away.
Kid?
You know, for me personally, I mean, I've seen Kofi play every game, and I have to be honest, I think today, and I will challenge any fan to show this to me, I've seen him actually clap and show some emotion. Usually he'll yell, but when he got that and one, he looked like a Trent Frazier, you know, or a Brandon Podziemski, a guy that was just, who's enthusiastic. I've never seen that from Kofi. He was challenged this week as well. It was nice to see him. He wanted this win. He knows how valuable he is to this team. You know, when the going gets tough, I mean, he wanted the ball. What I like now, he's getting it and he's looking. He's waiting for the double team to come, and he's becoming so much better, and not just passing, at dribbling out of it. You know, so, you know, it's nice to have a guy like that. There's nobody like that in college basketball. That's why I've always said enjoy it. Jacob Granderson is he's the most calmest guy ever in a post game. I mean, if you want to talk to a guy that's been around, nothing rattles him. Brad Underwood challenged him this week, and he came out, and he was great. You know, and one guy that I really have to tip my hat to, Brad mentioned it, the bench was great. Coleman Hawkins was solid today. You know, for a guy that's been a whipping boy for the last three or four games or weeks or a month, whatever, his defense, his rebounding is, I don't think people really realize it. He's had two back-to-back games with blocks that were just timely blocks. Just thoroughly impressed with what he's been bringing to the table. And if you can continue to get your bench to grow and to continue to believe and to fight, like Coach Underwood said, now's not the time to go back. Because I will say this in closing with comment. If they continue to play the way they played today and defend the way they defended today, don't care if they had one guy who was just hot and made everything. If they get Trent Frazier back and Andre Plummer back, this is the team that everybody nationally and locally thought that Illinois could be and could go on a national title run. Because they have the pieces. They have shooters. They defend. They have guys on the perimeter that defend well. And now you got your bench going. I just like what they have, but I really want to see them put it together now.
Yeah, and I really thought that Coleman Hawkins had a couple stellar moments. That block was amazing. And then that diagonal pass, you know, was just unbelievable. So it was a lot of fun to see him having some success out of there. And it was also, I thought that for the first time, I thought Curbelo, while maybe he didn't have a great game, but he didn't try to be Superman. He just tried to play some basketball. And I was really happy to see that. Brad, anything on your end?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I mean, I just kind of looked, you know, we talked about not going back. We went into this, did you go into this week thinking, you know, well, maybe you sweep Rutgers, Michigan State, but the reality was if you get a split this week, that's a good week, right?
Yep.
And now you got three of your last four at home. You've got some guys like, you know, Kendrick mentioned, Coleman Hawkins playing really well. And I would even say that, and maybe I'm crazy here, but I really think Coleman's played pretty well for, you know, even if it's not points, he has really given some lift over the last few games. I mean, just energy coming in and being that guy. And I think he's more comfortable in that role. I'll be honest with you. I feel like that's a good role for him right now. There's less pressure. You just come in and play hard and be active and play defense. And you don't have to make a shot necessarily. Get a tip in, things like that. So I really think I'm happy for him that he's a big part of this. And, you know, you can start to see Curbelo finding his role. You're starting to see, you know, guys like, you know, just all these guys, Melendez fitting in a role. And when you can use Melendez, so if Granderson doesn't have a good game or Williams doesn't have a good game, you've got a 6'7" uber athlete over there on the bench. That's a nice thing to have. So I'm really, really happy with the way this team's coming together. Three of your last four at home now, and you just take care of business and you can win a Big Ten title.
Yeah, they're in a position that Underwood, has to enjoy. Kedrick, I know you've been, big in Coleman Hawkins and RJ Melendez corner. What did you think of their performance today?
Again, I was impressed with Coleman, and I was also impressed with RJ because here's why. When he's been on the court the last few games, he's been out just scoring points. Today, he didn't force anything. I was impressed with that because that shows a sign of maturity. He didn't have that part of his game going today. It was great. Also, you were asking about Curbelo earlier. I tell you what, the film sessions that these kids have gone through, how tough it was, the critical part of it, calling out their games, I think that's why you didn't see the superhero Curbelo that you've seen before. He just went out and made plays and didn't try to hurt the team. Not that he's tried to hurt the team to begin with. He just didn't try to make a 15-point play. He just ran the team today and made good passes and he's just a calming influence when he has the basketball, when he's playing like that. Going back to Coleman, I know a lot of fans have been tough on him, and I know he has struggled in, some parts of the game, but who hasn't? Everybody for the most part, other than really Kofi, has had those times, and everybody in college basketball. Keegan Murray's had times where he struggled, EJ Liddell has struggled. It's the game, and you work your way out of it. Hopefully Trent can knock down a couple shots today and to get his confidence going, because when he pulled up and shot that three-pointer, you could see it when it left his hand. It's the most lift he's had on a shot in almost a month. Now if he can see the ball go through the basket and he got a couple of free throws to go down, it changes the whole game. And I really like what the bench is going to provide. I know people are going to question why Luke Goody didn't play and Brendan Pajemski didn't play. Brad is going to use them. I can tell you right now, you're going to see them on the court again at some point in time because he's going to need them. And I like what he's doing with them. Yes, there's things that these kids are not all getting in right now, getting tons of minutes, but you can definitely see that this is there for them. They got one tough road game left. If they take the same mentality to Michigan and not let Michigan do what they did to Purdue, they can win a Big Ten title now.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. And I know the main concern is if you take Grandison out of the mix, Illinois was 2 for 17 in three-pointers. But Trent did, pick it up there at the end. And that's good. So it'd be nice to see Plummer and DeMonte, knock a couple down so that they feel good about it. And I also felt like, I know he got a lot of fouls called on him and in a quick fashion, but I'm going to probably go against what people think, but I actually thought Omar had some good moments in there yet again. I know it's very short, it's very brief. But I have he's actually kindled a little hope in me next year that, given another offseason and time to work in this program, he's going to be a pretty good player for the Illini. He's never going to be, obviously, a huge scorer, but he's got a lot to offer. So, yeah, Brad, why don't you –
I'll piggyback on Omar there real quick for you.
Okay.
Do you realize how hard it is to go in and know you're going in for, 30 seconds to a minute and get in any kind of rhythm? I mean, it's so hard to do that. And so when he makes an energy play or a play – that's a bonus for me.
I've been married for 30 years. I know what it's like to, have a very short time to get into a rhythm.
Yikes!
I mean, this is the kind of game, though. You got to win if you're going to win a Big Ten title. And yep. So I'm happy with the win. I'm sure Brad Underwood's thrilled with the win, talking to the coaching staff already after the game, and they're really happy with that dub. They did enough to win, and yeah, you'd like to win by 15, make it easier on yourself. But at the end of the day, despite a 3-point play where they got free throws and some strange calls that came through and weird plays, they got the win. And that's all you can do is you get a win on the road, you just run with it.
Yeah, no, a win on the road, especially at Michigan State. Those are just a hard to come by thing. And Illini fans really need to appreciate that, because I look at most of my lifetime, you kind of thought, well, the best Illinois could do is split with Michigan State. And you're pretty happy with going 1-1 with them. And this year you end up having two games where Illinois, they were close games, But Illinois was in the driver's seat for three quarters of the game. That's a pretty darn good year when you come away 2-0 against, you know, Izzo and Michigan State. Ked, anything you want to say to wrap it up here before we get done?
Yeah, Brad mentioned this a little bit earlier. You know, you were at Rutgers and then you're at Michigan State, you know, to split on the road in the Big Ten, it's hard to win on the road. The best teams in the conference do that. That Rutgers win loss was ugly, but you know what? Short memory loss. You got to win at Michigan State, and I believe this is the first time since 2015. You know, you have one road game left, and that's at Michigan. You have to win that game. You have to bring that same energy. You might have to go back to the Pizza Hut parking lot again, you know, to remind the team about it. But if you got a chance, because everybody's hungry right now, and every game is going to go down to the wire, you know, blowing team, especially if you're one of the top four or five teams, everybody's going to give you their best shot. You got to bring it. If you really want it, you're going to have to earn it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It shouldn't be given to you. You know, the Big Ten title, at the end of the day, it matters, you know, but also for me, it matters what you do in the tournament. This team deserves it. I think Coach Underwood, it was nice to see him up for the Naismith Coach of the Year Award. I'm sick of people just overlooking him and taking for granted what he's done. He's resurrected a dead program that was great at one time, and it was on his last life support, and he brought it back. And he's done it with guys like you saw Carmelo missing 14 games, Kofi's missing 5 games, and now they're vying for a Big Ten championship. He has proven he deserves to be up there, and I hope they give him a good look for also Big Ten Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. Well, we're looking ahead to next week. We'll have they've got a tough game against Ohio State on Thursday, but it is at home. And I'm a big fan. I think that Ohio State team's it's a very good team. It's a dangerous team. And then you wrap up, you know, next week on Sunday, you wrap up at Michigan, and that game scares me a bit, because you're playing a Michigan team that is a bunch of freshmen, and they've probably got 3 or 4 good games that they will play over the course of a year. And I would think that they're going to be jacked up to play Illinois up there. And I think that, so it's another, you know, it's the Big Ten. It's another tough week. There's just no easy weeks. I'd like an easy week in the Big Ten, but it doesn't seem like there are any there. Well, with that, folks, we are going to let you go. Certainly we appreciate the time. We are going to get Matt Stevens on the Illini Guys Iridium satellite phone next. But Brad and Ked, thanks so much for spending some of your Saturday afternoon with us.
Thank you. Go Illini.
Yep. Thanks for having us. ILL.
INI. So, folks, we have got our Iridium satellite phone working here, where we've got Matt on the Illini Guys hotline. He's at Breslin right now, and you're going to hear in the background some of the women's basketball team for Michigan State as they practice. So you might get a little bit of color commentary. We can't control what these people are going to talk about and scream and yell. So hopefully they'll keep it clean for us. Matt, you got to witness a game that Illinois needed to fix things. They needed to go into number 19 Michigan State's lair. And that's been basically a horror shop for Illinois over the years. And the Illini come by out of this with a 5-point victory. What jumped out at you as you're sitting courtside watching this game?
Well, for one, what I'm going to submit to you, one of the things I'm going to submit to you for the Illini guys, it's just on the top of my head right now. The old guards stood up and rose up. You know, Jacob Granderson stood up and rose up for, you know, I think it was 24 points. But was also very active. And Underwood talks a lot about how, you know, Kofi helps him. I thought he helped Kofi, because Kofi's second half domination doesn't happen if Jacob Granderson's not confidently still shooting the way that he knows that he can, even after the numbers that he'd been putting up the last, you know, 3 or 4 games. I felt like DeMonte Williams stepped up in the first half defensively, and in second half quietly defensively, because this Michigan State team gets nothing out of Gabe Brown. They get nothing out of Max Christie, and they get they get nothing out of their wings that they know that they are going to need something out of in order to win this ball game. And that had a lot to do with the wing defense of Demonte Williams and Coleman Hawkins providing something. But Demonte Williams stood up today. And then Trent Frazier goes 0 for 6 in the first half. And you're thinking, you know, there's something desperately wrong with Trent. And in the second half, the one guy you probably want taking that kind of a shot at the end is Trent Frazier, and he nails it. So your old guard stood up. And when Brad Underwood talks about wanting to be old and needing to be old and old teams win, well, old teams won today. And they won with an energy and an effort and a defensive execution that I thought was pretty darn good for almost all of the game. And I got to be honest, I thought some of those shots that Tyson Walker hit were really tough, and I give him all the credit in the world for hitting some of them. So you come in on the road and the Big Ten, you got to do a lot of things. You got to rebound the ball, you got to defend, and you got to play with some energy, and you got to play smart and don't turn it over. And Illinois did all of those things, and they won a game.
Yeah, and I thought kind of interesting, but I thought Coleman Hawkins played really well today. Now, I think defensively he's been playing well for a bit, but I will tell you that diagonal pass from the right box to the left side for a three-pointer was an incredible pass. He had to thread a needle while kind of falling backwards. It was nice to see that contribution. And I know Omar Payne played limited minutes, but I thought while he was out there, he actually did accomplish a few good things. So even some of the players that we were hoping would step up did. And while RJ didn't have his shots go in, they rattled out. He kind of proved the way he was handling the ball and stuff that he could, he could compete out there. And at the same time, he also learned that the thread the needle pass, you kind of got to, maybe if you're going to thread it, you better do it well. And but it, like I said, he was forcing guys to guard him. And the other thing is I saw Kofi run the weave. So that made my year.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest there. I'll start with what you said about Coleman. That diagonal pass, Mike, does not happen unless you were energetic and, showing energy and showing effort on the offensive glass. And it's amazing what happens when you do that, what can happen afterwards. And what happens afterwards is Coleman makes a great play. But Coleman manufactured that great play on his own by going and getting an offensive rebound, first and foremost. And if Coleman can understand that he needs to go manufacture some of his own stuff, and that doesn't mean go take the ball and do ISO sets for him. That means go get your own offense, go get your own energy, go get your own stuff. He's incredibly great at that. And I thought the block that he had on Malik Hall was spectacular, because for one, it could have gone down as a loose ball that Coleman just didn't get. Well, he doesn't get the loose ball, which was a tough loose ball for him to get, but coaches are going to want him to go after that and get on the floor. But then by not getting on the floor, he doesn't give up on the play, and he doesn't give up 2 points. And yep. So, I feel like a month ago, Coleman would have given up on that, and Malik Hall would have gotten a layup. And so there's development there. And there's development out of a really young sophomore there. And I asked Brad specifically, Mike, today, that was Coleman's energy and effort noticeable? And he said, yes, absolutely was. He said Coleman was great. Coleman was wonderful. And I agree. I think he was really, really good off the bench. I mean, the bench numbers are going to get skewed because, again, what Tyson Walker did coming off the bench for Michigan State. But I thought in terms of contributions, Illinois got a lot out of their bench. Like you mentioned,
Omar.
It's really noticeable that if Michigan State's just going to run the parade line out of bigs at Kofi, he needs some help. And I thought Brad Underwood and the coaches, Mike, did a really good job of, hey, let's try to get 90 seconds here before this media timeout for Kofi. And you get 90 seconds here and, a couple of minutes here, and suddenly Omar Payne's 10 minutes is really productive, but it's in short spurts. It's not in long-winded, possession after possession kind of stuff. I thought Bello was decent. Like, I didn't think he was great, but I thought he was decent. And specifically, I thought he was decent. And I know our subscribers got on me today about preaching about defense, but I thought on the defensive end of the floor, Carbello was pretty darn good. And short of one just unbelievably lazy closeout to Tyson Walker.
That was not good. I actually was more impressed by the fact that Carbello didn't try to be Superman on offense.
No,
he
kind of
took what was there.
He took the single, like Sturdy's been talking about all the time, Mike. He took the singles plays. He took the simple plays. And he's like, oh, I can get an assist on that too. That's awesome. You know, it's one of those, it was one of those days for him. When I say that I thought he was decent, Mike, and I think I'm sure Sturdy's made this point already, he was better defensively than Alphonso Plummer was. And that's why he's out there in crunch time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a high bar to clear, but like I thought that was a better lineup for Illinois to close it out than in the past when Plummer had been out there and teams will just ISO Plummer. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I'm with you. They can always ISO Bello. And that's the point. I think so. There's a role there for Bello on the other end of the floor. And that's awesome. And you've been talking, Mike, all the time about trying to get that 15 minutes out of Bello. That's part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's part of it. So I thought their bench was great. But again, I look at this game and I you have no idea, Kegs, how much I just dreaded posting the starting lineup on Twitter because I knew what was going to happen. And when I did it, I was like, well, maybe today's the day the old guard just stands up and says, this is why our head coach talks for 5 years about how old teams win. Well, the old team won today, and they did a lot of things old teams just do. And I was really happy for Jacob Granderson because I think we all know that Jacob Granderson can hit shots. It's just a matter of trying to put together consistent performances game after game. And I think he'll do that. I don't have any concern there. And then I just don't have any concern about what DeMonte does from a small, you know, unbox score type things, from a leadership standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a just energy standpoint of he decided very, very early. And this is what 24-year-olds and 23-year-olds figure out. Hey, Michigan State's point guard play isn't very good. So how about I jump the passing lanes a little bit early and see if I can get some steals and get some energy and, you know, and effort and just action that way. And he did.
Yep.
I thought Trent did a really good job with that. So I was really concerned about Trent coming out of halftime. Just cause you don't want to see somebody just you start to ask the question, is the gas tank on E at this point with Trent? And I think there's lays that he can I don't know, like level out the energy that he gives for the 35 minutes and it'd be able to hit a shot like he did late in this game. So I think that Illinois is really, really dangerous because they have older guys that know how to win. And they kind of proved that today.
Yeah. I thought that again, a solid game by them. When you go in there and of course, I think when you funnel the ball through Kofi, and Kofi responds for the most part pretty well. He had a couple plays that he got frustrated by the refs. The one that I thought was interesting was when Joey Hauser literally was pulling with two hands on Kofi's offhand as Kofi was trying to turn around and shoot. And there's no foul called. And he's just like, he's actually pulling Kofi a little bit. I was like, wow, that's amazing. But Kofi didn't let it get into his head. And I thought that made a difference in how he played. The other thing I think that the TV did was really interesting. Of course, we all know that Duke, you know, has asked ESPN and CBS not to show Coach Izzo when he's yelling at referees. And ESPN spent the majority of the game, you know, with a little Izzo box when he was yelling and timeouts and stuff like that. And I tell you, it was interesting to watch that. And of course, they didn't do that to Underwood. And I'm assuming Underwood was giving refs crap. But it was interesting because when he did get a couple fouls, like there was a couple off ball fouls that were right after Izzo did an extensive amount of yelling. But it was a very interesting game to watch as the two coaches, because Underwood at least appeared like he was much more level-headed with the refs. And I think he has to be so that Kofi doesn't go off the rails. And you've also got Coleman Hawkins, who has a tendency to go off the rails. And you've also got Curbelo, who can go off the rails. And I think Underwood has decided that, you know, he's going to have to get through these games without riding the refs. And I think it helped in the long run because Illinois went into Breslin and come out of there with a little bit of a free throw advantage, which I don't know that I would have bought into before the game started.
Well, I think there's two angles to that. One is I think Brad understands coming into Breslin Center, I'm probably not going to get this big end of the stick when it comes to that. Right. I think he understands that's how this works.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fine. I mean, I think that's a veteran head coach who's been in the league for a while that understands how things work, to be honest. He also, I thought it was a great point by you, Kags. There was a point where Andre Curbelo lost his mind and Brad immediately pulled him. But I think when he got that third foul and Curbelo was just incensed, and he fouled him. I'm sorry. It's one of those Curbelo ones where he does the palms up thing. And whoever's sitting next to me, I'm going, he fouled him.
Yeah.
And Brad literally goes, okay, yeah, come over here. Cause I know what's going to happen over the next 90 seconds. If I leave you in, come on over here and sit down for a little bit. He's worked that about as well as I thought the last couple of games, I really think. What I thought was big for Kofi was Michigan State isn't even, you know, subtle about it. There's less than 2 minutes left and they intentionally fouled Kofi Coburn and they wanted him to shoot two free throws. And this place is going absolutely bonkers. He stands there calmly and makes two free throws. And I thought that was huge. And I asked Kofi about that at the end and he said, my head coach called me a coward because I don't want the ball late because I'm afraid to get fouled. And so I wanted to prove to him that I'm not a coward. And so that really resonated with him. And I thought it was a huge deal for Kofi. And I could see the body language from Kofi after he made the second one, that was a huge deal for him. And that's going to happen in postseason play in a single elimination tournament. And Kofi's going to have to stand up there and make them. And I thought he did that really well today. And that helped seal the victory. And the other thing is, and this is the last time I'm going to mention the officials, but I thought they did a really good job of one thing. And this is why, again, guys like Damonte Williams and guys like Coleman Hawkins and guys like, Omar Payne are really good at this. And it's, if I put my butt on you, I'm going to make it obvious that you're going over the top of me and physically pushing me to get that offensive rebound. And I thought the referees made it a point of emphasis today that we are not going to allow guys to be pushed in the back and get offensive rebounds. And I thought that's how Michigan State got a lot of their fouls early in the first half and then late in the second half, because they were just going to the glass and trying to make it a wrestling match. And refs just weren't going to allow that. And whatever these guys are doing from a rebounding drills perspective, they have really been effective. The older guard of this team has figured out, if I get my butt on you, you're not going anywhere, you know? And that's just solid rebounding fundamentals. And I thought that came out today. And I'm sure that Tom Izzo's not thrilled about that, because if there's anybody that cares about rebounding fundamentals, it's that Hall of Famer. So they got a lot to look at after this game and be proud of, because I thought they did a lot of fundamental things very, very well today. And as you know, Mike, and the way I kind of look at this game, a lot of it didn't have a lot to do with how much they put the ball in the basket. I thought they reacted to everything else besides putting the ball in, because quite frankly, Mike, if your name's not Jacob Granderson, Illinois didn't shoot it very well at all today. And they still won a basketball game start to finish in the Breslin Center. And I thought that's so key for this team to keep seeing that happening, because that's going to happen in a single elimination tournament. You're still going to have to figure out how to get a W.
Well, and I think it was interesting, because one of the things that I'll be writing about in tomorrow's Hail Marys, heat checks and Hail Marys, is the fact that basically, you know, Illinois, until the 5 minute mark of the game, Illinois was able to respond every time Michigan State was going on a run. Mm-hmm. And so Michigan State essentially, you know, wasted 15 minutes of a 20 minute half fiddle farting around between 10 points down and 16 points down. And as a coach, I used to love that, because I was a defensive coach. So if I had the lead, I would watch the lead at halftime and I'd be like, okay, if I can just trade baskets with them, you know, if they have a turnover and I have a turnover, obviously I'd prefer to, you know, make them pay for it. But if I can just trade baskets for the longer I can do that, the less time they have to close the trap on me at the end of the game. And I really thought that Illinois did a lot of good stuff going down, you know, the stretch and keeping that team from being able to come back on them. And the interesting thing is, and you pointed it out, you know, is when you take a look at this Illinois team today, you know, you had two players go 18 for 27. And then you had the rest of the team go 9 for 33. So, you know, I mean, this was a two-dog game. And like you said, Trent closed out the game. It was kind of the Kofi and Grandison show. And then Trent kind of provided that little oomph. The other thing that I love to see is down the stretch, they were pretty darn effective at free throw shooting, as you pointed out. Mm-hmm. And if you want to win in a single elimination tournament, you have to be able – you got to be able to close your eyes, pick any of the guys on the court, and they got to be able to go to the free throw line and darn near hit 2 out of 2 in the last 5 minutes of a game.
I thought what was really cool was that this team decided that in order for Michigan State to win – their wings have to, like, in a very similar way to like what Illinois didn't get at Rutgers, their wings have to give them something.
Yep.
Malik Hall has to give them something. Max Christie has to give them something. And Gabe Brown has to give them something. Mike, I saw on two different occasions, Gabe Brown and Max Christie both basically sit in the corner, do the hand forget you motion. I'm never going to get the basketball, apparently. So you guys figure it out. They were both being guarded by Damonte Williams. I mean, took their will from them, and they got nothing out of their wings, and that's why they lost. They got 6 points out of Max Christie. That's not good enough. They got 5 points out of Gabe Brown, and they got no points out of Malik Hall. None of those things can happen if Michigan State wants to win. But Illinois had the trump card to each one of those wings, and it was Damonte Williams, Coleman Hawkins, and Jacob Granderson. And even I thought Jake, who's not an elite defender, did a good enough job to just stay in front of those guys and make them hit contested twos, and they couldn't do it. So, you know, there was a lot to be said for what they did defensively on Michigan State's wings. And I thought that's why they won. And I thought that's why Illinois is able to shoot it like they did, if your name's not Jacob Granderson, and still come away with a Big Ten road win in a place that people don't usually get Big Ten road wins. And that's, again, this team needs to be reinforced with stuff like this, to see stuff like this, because it's how you win games keep going forward. And it's how this team's going to win a Big Ten championship if they want to win a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, you know, again, it's easy to be the armchair coach. But when I look at Gabe Brown, I don't know how much I play him if I'm a coach, because he's content to shoot bad threes and long twos without going to the basket. And that is his game. And if I see him, you know, miss his first two shots, I'm probably going to sit him down for the rest of the half. I'll put him in the second half and he misses his first shot. Well, then he's not on tonight. And that's it for Gabe if I'm coaching.
And what I see what I quickly see there is, and what I saw there a lot today was Gabe Brown and Max Christie both. There are occasions in which both of those guys sometimes have size advantages over what their dude is, and they go to the block and they just physically grind that defender into 2 points, right? They're not able to do that with Damonte Williams.
And I saw he's too strong for him.
So then what do they do, Mike? They fade to the corner. They fade to that corner three, and they either don't get the ball because they know they're not going to get the ball, or they miss a corner three because that's not their game. And so that's what defense is about. That's about people – you just described what defense is about, Mike, making somebody do something that they don't want to do.
Well, Gabe likes to do that.
And beat them that way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Gabe thinks that's his game. And I'm sorry, but you're not Kobe.
Yeah. You're not Kobe, dude. Okay. If Tyson Walker went off today and Illinois lost,
I agree.
Know what I mean? Like, if they want to try that in order to beat us, cool, fine, whatever. But that's how
did you, Did you detect anything with Bingham Jr.? Because I'll tell you what, that's a guy who, you know, he only got 13 minutes. He did have some touch fouls, but that's a guy that I try to build a little bit more of my game around. Now, again, he's got the same problem. He likes to go out and shoot threes, but it's just strange to me how little Izzo plays him. Is that just something where he's not willing yet to do what Izzo wants? So if you don't do what he wants, you sit on the bench? Or what did you see anything that you saw, you know, there live that maybe we didn't detect at home?
All right. I found that you kind of pointed out, you answered your own question a while back there, Kegs, and here's the deal. I think Michigan State was down so much that they got to a point where they had to put Hauser at the five because they had to have five scorers. And the problem there is that also is, if you've noticed very honestly, short of his freshman season when Kofi got in foul trouble, and Marcus Bingham has not been able to guard Kofi Coburn one-on-one.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally.
And so when the game plan – and Izzo said this today, Kegs, my plan the whole game was to double and triple Kofi Coburn, okay? That plan went into the garbage can when Jacob Granderson hits his threes at the in the first half.
Yep, exactly.
And that's what I'm talking about with Underwood talks all the time about how Kofi helps Jake out all the time. Jake helped Kofi out today because Kofi didn't do anything in the first half, quite frankly, and didn't have to. That's not true. I thought he got on the glass, and I thought he played good post defense and didn't allow easy two-pointers. Offensively, he was allowed to be non-existent because of the way that Jacob Granderson was hitting shots and the way that Illinois wasn't turning it over. You know what I mean? So in the second half, again, a veteran group decides, well, they're not going to leave Jake because he's hot. So let's just throw the ball to Kofi. And it's the double team's never coming. And if the double team never comes, I don't care who Michigan State paraded out there. They weren't going to be able to guard Kofi Coburn one-on-one. And at that point, I think Michigan State got into a point where it was, and you kind of saw it, and you saw Underwood kind of taking Kofi out periodically because he was just gassed because he had to guard Joey Hauser so far out there. He needed five scorers out on the floor, and it still didn't work because I don't think he has five scorers, consistent scorers on that roster. So I didn't think Marcus Bingham played terrible. I just thought he's not a consistent enough scorer that Izzo can have him out there all the time. His calling card is defense and toughness, but when you're down 15, defense and toughness kind of goes into the wastebasket at some point because you need to make a comeback. But I don't know, Mike. Like, I think the last time that this team won wire to wire in Breslin was the year they went to the final, went to the title game, and went to the national title game, the D. Darren and Luther year. And today I just felt like this team was in total control, even when Tyson Walker was going out of his mind, because they were able to figure out a way to throw the ball to Kofi Coburn and get 2 points every time he did that. And so a really big win. And I think it puts this team back in the right type of mentality for a really tough stretch down the schedule here if they want to win a Big Ten title.
Excellent. Well, thanks for that commentary, and thanks for, you know, getting all the way up to frigid East Lansing. We appreciate
almost the coverage. Ditch once, but only once.
That's great. Well, we're glad you're safe. Drive safe on the way back, and we will talk to you after the Ohio State game.
Thanks, Gags. Appreciate it.
Thanks. So, again, this is the Eye on the Illini, and we were brought to you today by Home Field. Please go to homefieldapparel.com and go ahead and check out that new Illini brand. There's a whole line of Illini apparel out there, and it is comfortable, it is great looking, and it is something that you're going to want to take a look at, especially if you like the stuff that was out there in the past. There is some beautiful stuff. It looks like inspired by the 80s. Make sure you look at that. And I don't know that you can find a softer shirt. Super, super comfortable. And you can get 15% off when you check out. All you have to do is type in Illini Guys at the checkout, and that will get you 15% off. So we'd love to have some people going ahead and jumping on that. That would be fantastic. Give these guys support. You know, we want to make sure that the companies out there who are making the merchandise, the swag, the clothing. Let's make sure that they make a Illinois stuff because Illinois fans support the Illini so much. And the other thing that we have here is if you are listening to the Illini guys, Sports Spectacular, that is our radio show. Please look for that. You go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you'll see a list of all the stations that have our show and the times that they are broadcasting the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's a weekly 2-hour sports extravaganza. It is on every Friday or Saturday, depending on the station. And it plays from places all the way from Chicago down to St. Louis, up to the Quad Cities, Peoria, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield. I mean, it's just amazing the number of stations that have brought us on, and we certainly appreciate their efforts. And we would love to have you guys doing what you can to let people know that you're listening. So if you're listening to the show, call up your radio station and say thank you. That means a lot to us as well. And of course, if you like this podcast, you can also go to, besides Eye on the Illini, we also do Sturdy for 30. That's Brad's podcast. It is the flagship of our line. You can listen to a ton of fantastic guests there. And you can also follow Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to families, recruits, and coaches, high school coaches, AAU coaches. It's a totally different view of the recruiting process. So please go ahead and take a listen to that. And of course, if you want all the inside information, and trust me, the best inside information comes from Brad Sturdy and Ked Parents, if you're talking about Illini athletics and also the basketball program as well. We know a lot of people who cover the Big Ten and cover Illini sports who have memberships so that they can see what's going on because Brad reports it first. But you have to be a member. You get back in the back and you go into our message boards and you get to hear all the best of rumors and speculation and things that end up being true later on. So please go there, IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year, and we would love to have you as members. So with that, we are going to say go Illini, and we will talk to folks later on this week. Thank you.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.